Hey, Frog fans, welcome to the Killer Frogs. This is the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 151 for November. It's November already. November 6th of 2020. Unfortunately, while it is November, it's still 2020. On tonight's podcast, talk a little bit about undefeated soccer, about to take on the conference. Actually, tomorrow on Friday the 6th, we'll also talk a little bit about some, some controversy involving the TCU Letterman's Association, or here's a little bit of a preview, the former Letterman's Association. We'll also talk about the big win over Baylor and the upcoming game here in Fort Worth against Texas Tech. Hopefully the Frogs can break the dry spell here in Fort Worth. On tonight's podcast, we've got TCU Hall of Famer W.C. Nix. Hey, Dubber.
Hey, hello. How's it going? Y'all doing good with that?
Yeah, going well. You having a good week?
Well, I'm having a great week. Just ready to get to Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. It's been a long week. I'm looking forward to a little bit of football back in Fort Worth. We also have Nathan Hernandez on. Hey, Nathan.
Cheers.
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 Quick program note, Nathan is dog sitting, so if you hear a squeaky sound in the background, that is not him.
Could be, but we'll keep it moving.
And rounding out our foursome this evening, we've got Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, everybody.
Holding it together?
Yeah, as good as possible. Crazy week. I just realized when you told me the date, I was like, oh my gosh, it's exactly to the day a month before my 45th birthday. And we were just talking about how 5 years goes by. God, that just whizzed by. Crazy.
Goes by fast. So, and of course, we are not going to talk about the big news, which is, of course, the election. That's a different podcast. So we are going to get right into this. Let's talk about a little TCU women's soccer. Still undefeated in the conference. They're taking on West Virginia tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So, any Frog fans who are listening to this in the morning, if you want to come on by and support the Lady Frogs in their chance to actually take the conference, this will be the time to do it. And Dubber, the women look really strong this season.
Well, they do. I mean, you know, they're I forgot what it said. I think it's 1980-something before they even sniffed Sheridan the conference or any – kind of anything. So with a tie or a win, they win it outright.
Yep.
So it's, you know, they've had a great season, and you know, it's our one sport that, you know, I love football, this, that, but right now soccer had going on. Girls soccer.
It's been a bright spot in an otherwise dark season. Cylinders.
And they're, you know, it's a good group. So you ought to come out and try to see them. If you can't come out, they are on ESPN Plus, I know that for sure also. So be a good time to get behind the girls.
Definitely. Yeah, if you're into the social distancing thing, ESPN Plus is definitely the way to pick it up. But I mean, this is a group, you know, Ryan, they've been, for the last couple of years, they've been building this team steadily, and we've seen how everything's kind of paid off. And then this season, it's like everything just kind of gelled and came together right at the right time.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see that, and I guess people can make jokes about that they're the real football. You know, soccer is the world's football team, so our football team is undefeated. So exciting! Hey. So, but I've gone out and watched them a few times, and I did not grow up enjoying playing soccer, and therefore I never really watched it a lot. I now have a few friends whose kids are on the soccer team, so I've been out there to watch them, and yeah, it's a pretty cool sport. I mean, it's definitely not one of my favorites, but anytime you're watching a team as successful as they are, I mean, how can it not be fun? And it's just they're so athletic. I mean, I think the reason why I never liked soccer, why would I ever want to run that much? So you got to hand it to them. Those girls out there running in some of the hottest months of the year. And shoot, we for a second there, we thought this game might be up in West Virginia. And I was like, oh my God, somebody check the weather. Cause you know, it's like football. It's an outdoor sport, and
you're kicking an ice cube up and down the field.
Yeah, God, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. It's a grueling sport, and I'm so proud that they're undefeated. It's pretty exciting. I'm hoping that we can all, as many of us, can make it out there to watch them on Friday night. You're probably listening to this on Friday, so tonight, if you don't have anything to do, date night at the soccer fields, wear a mask and go cheer on the girls.
You know, they've been kind of building this direction the last few years. I mean, they haven't been the place to win the conference championship, but you know, the last two or three years they've been pretty solid.
They
really have. So it's not, this isn't a fluke. This is something that they've been putting together over a period of time now, and then you know, just getting better and better athletes, and you know, playing as a team. You know, you got to have this team sport, and it's good to kind of see that they've been slowly taking the steps to get to where they are right now.
Yeah, Coach Bell has done a fantastic job, and actually the entire staff. I mean, you got to hand it to them all. They've been fantastic. Yeah. Like I said, they've been building on this for the last several years, and it's just this looks like the team that can take it. So I'm really excited for them, and hopefully this will be a good win for them tomorrow and get a conference championship in football. And then hopefully the other football game on Saturday will break the dry spell at home, but we'll see how that goes. So, yes, that will be 7 o'clock Friday night. And if you can't catch it live, definitely catch it on ESPN+. So switching gears a little bit, we got some news a couple of days ago from the TCU Letterman's Association that was a little interesting. And, you know, Dubber, you're a member of the Letterman's Association, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, I figured as much.
Well, it's not the Letterman's Association. See, you said the wrong thing already.
I did. Well, you know what? Old habits.
Sean, I'm
going to
have to fine you $1,000 for saying that word.
Exactly.
So let's clue in the listeners of what we're talking about here. I will let them.
Can I just read the letter? Can I read it?
You want to read it? Be my
I'll
guest.
Read it.
So, dear TCU letter winners, I want to make you aware of a change to the TCU Letterman's Association as we announce a rebranding of the association. Today, November 2nd, the TCU Letterman's Association will become the Block T Association to better represent all of our members and to become compliant with diversity, equality, and inclusion standards.
No, wait. You already messed up. It's diversity, equity, and inclusion standards.
Equity, my bad.
Yes.
Equity, equality. Yes. Interesting. Okay.
Equality and equity are two different things. Consult Kamala Harris's Twitter.
That's anyway, true. Ahead. I'm sorry if I offended anybody by accidentally saying the wrong word. Diversity, equity, and inclusion standards at TCU. All association functions and assets will remain intact. The change from TCU Letterman's Association to the Block T Association is effective immediately. The rebranding initiative is in an effort to better reflect the membership of the association. More than 300 members of our association are women, and one-third of the association's board of directors are women. With this rebranding, we are modernizing the association with an all-inclusive name that also pays homage to the Block T letter that has been awarded to student-athletes at TCU for more than 125 years. Our board of directors has been very supportive, and I look forward to us telling our story as part of this marketing campaign, which will include an updated logo and new member apparel. The association will continue our efforts to support TCU student-athletes through mentorship programs, events related to the LaDainian Tomlinson Student Athlete Development Program.
Yeah, the rest of it's all just PR, yeah.
Yeah, but I will say one thing about the logo, it's awesome. I mean, that Block T looks really, really cool. The name
sucks.
I think it's just really stupid. Block T reminds me like a block. You're such a blockhead, dude. You know, like that's just stupid.
Yeah,
it's
I don't know.
Descriptive name.
Yeah.
Yeah, they rushed that one a little bit. I mean, I think hopefully the women who were maybe offended by this could have waited a little bit longer to maybe come up with a little bit better name than Block T. Where am I getting Blockhead? Why does that come to mind? Blockhead? Is that like a cartoon or a nickname?
It's just a saying. Yeah. You blockhead.
It's a saying, and it's not a very, I mean, isn't it kind of like if I were to Google Blockhead, doesn't it mean you're kind of
Well, I mean, you could. Well, yeah. Well, here's an interesting thing. One of our forum members pointed this out. But Block T is the name of a bar at College Station. So, you know.
Oh no.
Somebody didn't quite Google the name before they picked their name.
So now they're gonna think we're copying everything they do.
Yeah, you know what that just means? The Aggies are gonna put up a band.
Okay, you know what, Block? You wanna hear something else? I'm reading it right now. I just Googled blockhead. Definition of blockhead at dictionary.com. Blockhead definition: a stupid, doltish person, a dunce. See more, obsolete, a piece of wood in a shape of a head. Use a block, blah, blah, blah. See? So really, I would be highly offended.
Well, the graphic artist is going to step in here. The block from Block T defines the topography, the type of font that's being used.
Colleges use that for their lettermen?
Yes. It's a very ubiquitous font that's used.
But don't call it that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great looking T. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's great. It looks nice on a jersey. That's fine. Right.
I love the logo. And
I still wear my letterman, but...
Rebranding and coming up with new logos is fun. We love all of our frog logos through the years, but Block T, like I said, just reminds me of Blockhead.
Association.
It's what? Hmm? I'm sorry?
Just say, just name it Association. If you're going to go with something, that sounds better than the other.
Kind of like the Washington football team?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Well, I hear that's going to stick around.
Or something.
So.
How about just the Athletes Association?
Yeah.
Yeah. They could. Or Letter Athletes. Yeah. Letter Athletes Association. Something like that.
It's really long letter word.
Lettermen's, letter athletes. I mean, don't a couple worry. Extra syllables. Who cares?
I just, the whole. Yeah. I mean, the whole can't use pronouns anymore. That could be offensive. Like, her and you, like, know, you have to call everybody they, which actually is incorrect English. I mean, man is a general mankind. Like, we are humans. Maybe they should have said the letter humans. Now we're on to something. Letter humans association.
Letter frogs.
It's like the terrible mascot from the TV show Community.
Frog letter.
Frog letter.
Letter frogs.
Frog winner.
I'm so glad we're having this creative discussion on what we should rebrand rebranded Letterman's Association. Yes. The association formerly known as the Letterman's Association. We just do like the whole Prince thing. We'll just make it a symbol. Just be that. It's just the T. That's what it is. So, yeah. So that was an interesting little bit of story. I mean, you can kind of tell. There wasn't a whole lot going on over the last week or so, but this one was just kind of came out of left field. It was kind of bizarre. I know a lot of the other Letterman that we've had on the board that I've talked to, they had no idea this was coming. So obviously it sounds like this was, I think Deborah, this even brought you by surprise when I brought it up before we even started recording.
No idea. It's interesting.
They didn't even pull the membership.
Yeah, they should have taken a vote.
Yeah. They should have at least, you know, given you guys a heads up that this was a direction they were going into. So yeah, it's just it's an interesting little tidbit, and it'll be interesting to see how that, you know, how that is handled by the membership at large. So I know there was quite a bit of pushback over the last 2 days, but obviously other things have kind of taken up the air in online discussions over the last couple of days, which we will not go into tonight. Anyway, so that's an interesting little saga. We'll kind of update you if we have any more information on that at a later date, unless somebody else would like to chime in on the Letterman Block T.
I'm good.
Okay, so let's get into last week's win over Baylor. TCU goes down to Waco, comes away with a win, and it looked like at the very beginning of this game, they weren't just going to come away with a win. They were going to basically steamroll that toilet bowl of a stadium and leave Waco in their dust. They were looking
hot. Haven't we done that before? Do you remember that year?
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about 2014.
Deja vu.
Yeah. Well,
Kyle had five touchdowns.
Five touchdowns.
Are we talking about 2016 or 2017?
No, I think we were talking about 2014.
Okay, well, I like 2017 better. Yeah. The outcome was better.
So that year we were kicking butt too. Would have made the college. Yeah, should have still made it, but you know.
Still should have. Yeah.
Best team ever. Which obviously, I don't know. Did you guys see that too? There was a big discussion with Tank Carter and Mrs. Patterson was up on Twitter about this, that she had I guess posted the 20. She had made comment that the 2014 team was like the best team of all time or whatever, and the 2010 team was like, hello, like,
yeah,
we were undefeated.
Aww.
They weren't. I know. It was interesting. It was a little Twitter.
2014. I wouldn't disagree with her on that. That was a special team.
That really was. But
not,
it's
not
interesting.
To take anything away from 2010, because 2010 is the reason why 2014 got to be a special team. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, well, if anybody likes the Twitters, go check out Tank Carter's Twitter feed. That was an interesting discussion.
I'm just sure we're talking about only the modern era, because if you look way back in the history.
And we're talking 35, 39.
Or Sammy Baugh. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you say about that also.
You can't say anything anymore. At all. Why are we even doing this podcast?
Yeah, sorry, I offended the old guy. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to do that. All right. So, this game actually, it looked really good until, you know, right at the very end of the half, right? We give up that score at the end of the half. I mean, up to that point, the team was rolling, looked really, really solid. You know, we were joking around because we had done our predictions last week, and Ryan had asked me what my prediction was, and I said 3-0, 3-0 for the game, just kind of out of, you know, tongue in cheek, because I was just getting a little. I was being a little salty, but you know, towards the end of that half, and it was 30-0. I was like, "Hey, I was only off by 1-0."
Right.
So they looked really good. Now the second half was a totally different game, but to their credit, this team, I think, if this game had been played a week or two earlier, I don't think they would have kept the lead and won that game the way that the tide had shifted, especially on the road. This team is starting to kind of show a little bit of fight, like in teams past, they haven't quite put together a full four quarters on both sides.
Are you talking about
football.
TCU or Baylor?
TCU. Baylor's never put it together.
Well, I would be kind of in a little bit of defense of Baylor. Like, I think they had their first full week of training with their offensive line because of COVID. Like, they've really not even practiced that much. You know, everybody's talking about, we look so good. And I was like, maybe Baylor's just really bad. You know?
Could you talking about feel that way? What was everybody needs a tune-up game. I said we just got to take the little wins at a time. Everybody needs a tune-up game.
Yeah,
we didn't ever get a tune-up game except for Texas. But
that's true. Yeah, you forget that you didn't have any of those games. It's just hard when you're winning that and you're so excited, and then it's like they just pop that balloon. All the air went out, and by the time you won, it was like, sure don't feel like we won. I mean, like we all kind of felt just deflated a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And I hope their drive back was not as deflated as I felt at the end of the game, because you're right, Nathan, they needed that. And a win is a win at the end of the season. We're not even going to remember how they won. So hopefully coaches didn't beat them up too much on the way back, kind of like I am right now. But
it's a lot better to have a ugly win than a pretty loss.
That is very true.
So, you know, the first half, And I'll say this, you know, I was critical of the offensive line. They played pretty well. And I thought they played pretty well, period, the whole game, actually. And, you know, one thing I like watching them hustle around. I like watching two or three of them finish blocks finally. I got tickled after the Oklahoma game. You know, I started reading all these comments and stuff about Oklahoma's line played dirty. And then they'd come back and say, well, they did play illegal. They just played right up till the point of legal. And I'm like, yeah, it's what they're supposed to do. Right. That's what I want my line to do. I want them to go right up to the legal part and stop so they don't get a penalty. But don't be scared to finish blocks. Don't be scared to hustle around. Don't be scared. Have a little attitude. And they did have attitude Saturday. I thought that was a big improvement Now, the thing that I try to figure out is, and, you know, I don't know what opinions are. I mean, I'm sure everybody's got their own opinion. But I start thinking, all right, so how much of it is Patterson knows he's got a freaking big lead and he goes into conservative mode a little bit, or what? Or did our offense just really start tanking that bad? Our defense started tanking that bad. I mean, you know, it started snowballing, but now we did stop it. And I agree with you, Sean. I'm not so sure earlier if it started going south like that, we could have stopped it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a grow-up moment for the team in the sense that, hey, they grew up and they stopped it.
Right.
And you know what? And if you did come out a little flat, complacent in the second half because you had a big lead, you just learned a valuable lesson about that too without taking a loss.
Well, and to the coaches' credits as well, they had a real good ground game going in the first half, and then they got away from it. And every single time we go away from that, bad things happen. But to their credit, Frogs get the ball back in the fourth quarter, and they get a stop. They get the ball back with like 6.5 minutes left, and everyone's going, okay, they're up by 10. Baylor has all the momentum. TCU hasn't been able to put together a drive of more than 3 minutes all game long. And what do? They go back to the ground and they just pound the ball and run out the clock all the way to the Baylor goal line. And then we take a knee for, you know, as a, you know, kind of a typical Gary Patterson, you know, hat tip, classy move. That was a.
Except he didn't let him do that last week.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Yes, we're so funny about it.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure he pissed off even more bettors with that move again as well. So, you know, you can't win for losing. Anyway, so it's interesting because this was a game that I think a few things I saw that I wouldn't have seen the same thing in previous weeks. I think something has happened since the Oklahoma game, and it's for the better. And I think we're starting to see some guys grow up, and I think we're starting to see some coaches get their head out of their you-know-whats or had their heads handed to them. And I think we're starting to see some changes, and I like the direction we're going. I maybe, you know, I don't think it's too little too late, but I think it's nice to see the direction that this team is moving towards.
And you know what? I probably shouldn't say who told me this, so I won't. But I was told, and I thought it was really clever and really funny, is that if we win this weekend – we'll be the Texas or the Big 12 state champions.
Yes. Win the state of Texas.
One way to look at it.
The Texas state champions. Well,
I'll take it.
I mean, we usually do win the state of Texas in the last, like, even regardless of like either always losing to Oklahoma teams or anything, we've still, like, out of all the Texas teams, we've had the better record over the last like 10 years or something like that. Mm-hmm.
That's true, but no one ever gives us that credit.
No, they don't. They refuse to think about it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, how ticked off were y'all that UT ended up beating OSU? That made me want to cry.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Hey, but we beat Texas.
Oh, no. Texas, OSU, though.
Texas just always has a ruin for everybody.
I do.
Yeah.
Man. Take one for the team, Texas. Think about our conference.
Our conference up for, I mean, we're not going, I mean, we're just spinning our wheels this year because everybody can beat anybody. Anybody can beat everybody. And so that's not advantageous to the Final Four. But I didn't realize they're opening up the bowl games this year.
I didn't either until recently.
You know, I mean, all of a sudden I start reading about the bowl games and what bowl games are going to be in Texas and stuff like that. I was like, well, I didn't even think they were playing bowl games this year. And now, you know, now they're opening it up. Before we get off the topic of, true football, a couple of things I want to say, though. Our running backs, in my mind, I'm running two running backs right now, Barlow and Evans.
Yep.
And as much as I like Barlow, I'm not so sure I don't give Evans more carries just to see what he can do. Because I tell you, Evans is the type of runner, when you look at him, he's so smooth that sometimes he makes something that was really pretty hard look really easy. There was a couple of times he broke some tackles and did some little hip movement, and I mean, he just totally just faked some people out. And I mean, it looked so easy that I think people, you know, didn't catch how difficult some of the stuff he does. He is a very, you can tell he is a very talented football player.
I was at the Oklahoma game and I was like watching everything, and it was the end of the game, so it didn't really, nothing really mattered, but they were giving him the ball on some passes, more just like some handoff, quick handoffs. But even then I was just like, okay, this kid's really good. Like, nobody's paying attention to this right now because it's the end of the game. Mm-hmm. It's trash time, but he is moving like ridiculously. And I think I was talking about it with Zeller, my roommate. He's kind of like
not me.
No, sorry. No, Patrick Zeller.
Three's Company.
He's honestly like a balance of Jet and Shaywo.
Yes.
Like together. Like I say Jet because he's number six, but he's just a very smooth runner like Jet and very elusive, but he has size and power, and love both of them, but he's just like a really good combination of both of them.
Yeah, I was going to say Green and Anderson, but similar situation. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know what the best thing I like about him is? His attitude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything I've heard from him is, hey, come on, don't hate the team yet. And even when people have been calling his name, he's like, hey, it's all good. Everything's good. And then when, like you said, at the end of an Oklahoma game, you know, you don't know how a five-star guy like that's going to react. He's getting the mop-up minutes. And, you know, he could have come out there. There's two kind of attitudes. He's going to come out there like, you know, dang, you're making me come out here at the end. I don't get no quality minutes. Or he comes out like he did, and he wanted to show the coaches, hey, this is what will happen if you'll give me the football. Yeah. And, I mean, he ran, like you said, in the Oklahoma game, you could say, when I saw that, I'm just like you, Nathan. I was like, I want him to get the ball more. I want to see him get some meaningful touches, because I believe he could help you. And I could see if you gave him the ball 20 times a game, he's going to make some great plays for you. Yeah. I mean, he's going to – and, hey, that ain't taking away nothing from – because I think we got some really good back. I really like Barlow. He runs hard. He's tough. He's a good running back. I just don't know. I mean, if you get two really good running backs and one's just got more talent, but they work the same, they work as hard as each other, the guy that's got a little more talent is just going to be probably a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it's going to come down to eventually.
Well, I've joked about this in weeks past, but I would love to see us just go to the wishbone with these guys. Why not? I mean, you've got both these guys. You might as well use them.
More than them too, Sean.
Dan Mercado.
The Navy offense.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, TCU ran the triple option in the past, and why not? Why not try to do something like that again? I mean,
toughen up our O-line.
It would. And the O-line, obviously, while they are getting better, and Dubber, to your point, I really did like this, what I saw out of the offensive line against Baylor. I mean, it could be like what Ryan was saying. Maybe Baylor's just not that good, but it was good to see them continue playing up to that point and finish those blocks. Even if Baylor's line isn't all that good, those are kind of those, like you said, Nathan, those are kind of the games that you gotta have to kind of have to go through, and you need. But going back to the running back, I mean, Evans was amazing. Barlow was amazing. The ground game was fantastic for TCU, and I think if we can just continue to pound the ball, I think good things are going to happen. I think trying to force a passing game that isn't quite there with this offensive line right now is just going to be disastrous moving forward. Especially,
and we've talked about it before. It's sometimes it's easier. Some O lines are better with pass blocking. Some O lines are better with run blocking. I definitely think the strength of this one right now is run blocking, just because it's a little easier for them to you don't have to be as fancy with it. You can just literally just come off the ball and hit somebody.
Pin your ears back and just –
somebody pulls, comes around, and just hit somebody. With pass rushing, we obviously do still struggle with that. And so, honestly, yeah, it's just hard because we get behind, and so it's our immediate knee-jerk reaction to, oh, we need to throw the ball, we need to catch up. And the same thing with the Cowboys, and not to go on and all that, but there's some – you spend so much time behind, you can't establish a ground game. Or, like, you can, but, like, a lot of people's mentality is, oh, we need to catch up, so we just got to throw the ball. Right. And we got to – and we kind of did this with OU. You start to play their game, and you stop worrying about yours, and so you're not going to win playing their game. You're going to win playing your own game, so –
Well, with the issues that we have on defense right now, I think giving those guys as much time to rest.
Yeah, and you saw it series, at the end of, you saw it in the second half.
Yeah, 100%. Right?
They stay on the field. They're not going to stop anything.
Yeah. I mean, up until that very last drive, I mean, we did not put together a drive longer than like 3 minutes, 20 seconds. I mean, and that was great. I mean, it worked out great in the first half. But after that, like you said, in that second half, Baylor just really kind of wore him down. There's no reason why this offense can't do the same thing, but do it in a much better way with our ground game against the opposing defenses.
It's contagious, like that. Yeah. Because, like, as a defensive player, it's demoralizing seeing your team go, your offense go three and out over and over again. And you're just like, oh, we got to go do this again. Like, you get a pick, and they don't get any points off of it. Like, why did I just get a pick? Like, they're not going to help us out. Why should we help them out? And I'm not saying that everybody on the team
gave me a
like
3 minute break. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And not that they all think like that, but it is very hard to continuously produce when you're not getting help.
Right.
Well, I will say we pass block better too. Our offense is a whole bunch better. Now, you know, Baylor defense had played terrible. I mean, they've been terrible, terrible. Their offense has not been very good. But it's kind of like our offense, you know. Look at our offensive line. They filled in and filled out, and they brought people in and brought people out, and so maybe we're seeing a little consistency. Well, they left some people out that they played 2 weeks ago that they should have, and so that I was happy about that. And I think you're seeing a little more consistency because of that. But you know. I got to see it another week. I don't feel great about it just because we haven't done it 2 weeks in a row. I want to see consistency 2 weeks. Well, and you know, first half, that's why I was frustrated like everybody else for the first half, the second half. But then I get to thinking, I kind of know Coach Patterson, and he could say he didn't go conservative, but he kind of goes conservative. Then they kind of start trying stuff, and then you all of a sudden you go three and out, and then you know, and all of a sudden you try the bubble screen again that you've taken out of your book, and you tried that. I mean, I don't know why we put it back in. We tried it a couple times, but all of a sudden, then it just starts snowballing on you a little bit, and I don't feel as bad as I did right after the game. I mean, but at the same time, I'm just hoping we play with some consistency for a whole game. That's
I gotta see crazy. It at home.
Well, yeah, play good.
We're getting to that point where it's happened the Cheez It Bowl year, the year we went to Liberty Bowl. We played better on the road. We don't play well at home because who knows why? Distractions, family in the stands, or in the stands, but Texas was on the road. Baylor was on the road. Iowa State, K-State, and Oklahoma were all at home. We came out flat, just super flat. So I want to see it at home.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've mentioned this every single time I've been up in the press box, you know, and everyone says like, it's just pregame warm-ups. You can't – no, I'm watching these guys and – you know, the visiting team's coming out and they're jumping around, they're having fun. I mean, give them some glow sticks and they're having a rave on the field. And our guys over there, it's like crickets. It's like, you know, everyone's just kind of walking around and moseying about.
Yeah,
like,
me and Ryan were watching the Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's insane. And, you know, you can't quite predict how a game's going to go, but every single time you see that and then they have that sort of a flat performance, it's like at some point in time, you kind of have to wonder what is going on before the games, and who knows, maybe it's just a lack of, you know, a COVID crowd and you just kind of get a little bit more up and you get a little bit more of a chip on your shoulder when you go on the road. But these guys have got to figure out how to get that chip on the shoulder when they're at home, because we cannot continue this dry spell in Fort Worth. It's getting ridiculous.
Well, I tell you, on the defense side of the ball, I love, right? I can't remember his name, the freshman defensive end from Louisiana.
Number 11?
Yes. I mean, he's a hoss.
Yeah.
And he's got a motor. And he's only got one speed on that motor. When he figures out what he's really doing, I'm going to tell you, that kid's going to be good. I mean, he makes – and people don't understand how many hustle plays he makes. I mean, he just gets after – and I don't know. It's kind of sad to me in the sense that I feel like he's got the best motor on the defense. I mean, he's always costly, which is a good thing because he's young. But, man, if I was upperclassman, that's one thing I learned from him because he's been my biggest surprise so far. I knew he was a good sack leader in high school. I knew he's, you know, did that well. But he's just all around good football player. He's just not a pass rusher, and he gets after it.
Yeah, Coleman is coming along. Another entry from Louisiana in a long line of really good Frog defensive linemen. So, it's going to be really interesting to see how he develops through the rest of the year, and see how things kind of progress in the offseason when he gets to his sophomore year. But he's been a real good bright spot, and it just continues to get brighter and brighter every week.
Yeah, because you talked about he's just a little skinny kid out there. I mean, he hadn't had an offseason to go through. He hadn't had, you know, he didn't really, I mean, you know, there, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a little difference between high school lifting and college lifting. Mm-hmm. I mean, the programs, I mean, and the way you get after it and stuff like that. You know, he'll probably put on 20 pounds of just solid muscle, but you got to get him there. You know, right now he's just playing on sheer athletic ability, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, you brought that up. I just pulled up the weight charts. He's listed at 224 pounds.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I'm going to tell you, he holds his own out there.
Yeah.
That makes me, because I know he's not a, you know, he's skinny. I mean, he's not a big, you know, as far as a lineman, you know, he's not a big guy. I mean, he's fast. But, you know, on the run plays, you just don't, I'm not saying he doesn't get knocked off the ball, but he's up there playing on the line of scrimmage and staying there as much as he's getting knocked off the ball. I really like the kid. I like how he plays. I like his motor. I like everything about him. And I just think every game he keeps getting better.
Yeah. Another 15, 20 pounds of muscle will do him good.
He's Coach P's dream on the edge though.
Yeah.
Like Coach P loves like kind of not, I wouldn't say smaller, but more leaner, faster guys on the edge. He put Ty Summers down there quite a few times. He wanted Shaywo to actually play defensive end a few times. But, he had Ben out there. He likes those, like, leaner.
Number one, I mean, you look at Jerry, he's a running back. You know, when he came to town, they threw him a jersey, a 90-something jersey. He didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, hey, but his best move he could have ever made. Look at his career, look at everything, and he was a hoss. Still is a hoss. Still doing it. There were some other defensive ends that got some action this week, I mean last week, that I hadn't seen. What's the kid out of Aledo? Ellenberg, Ellington? You know what I'm talking about? He played a lot last year as a freshman.
Ellison.
Yeah, I mean, I'm terrible with names.
Yeah, Ellison's from Aledo.
But he was buried on the draft chart is what I'd heard. I'd heard that he hadn't had a good fall. He hadn't get, and, you know, because I was looking for him to play a lot this year. And all of a sudden, because last year he came in, he had a productive freshman year. And then all of a sudden, this fall, I expected to see his name and number and he wasn't out there, and then I heard he kind of got buried, but he was back out there this week. He made a few plays, so maybe he kind of grew up a little bit, and now he's tired of sitting on the bench, so maybe we'll start getting a little more depth there.
Yeah, that'd be nice, because we need it. We need to find whatever we need to do on this line to get more pressure on the quarterback. That will that would help out. I mean, that's one little aspect of this defense that could really turn the tide in a couple of the games we've played up to this point.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, I think aside from getting pressure on the quarterback, which is, we definitely need that, because there's just nothing. Charlie Brewer has just had, he got all day back there at some time. But we need guys who are can take up a double team and help our linebackers out, because that's why our linebackers keep getting pushed out of holes so much. They're getting knocked out because we don't have a D lineman that's kind of taking up one or two blocks that helps them out and frees them up to be able to fill the gaps that they need to fill, or fill in other gaps that they might see something cutting back to. So yeah, I think we need them to get pass rush on the edges, and something up the middle. But I think we need to help our linebackers out a lot, because Wallow is a beast. He's all over the place, but he can only do so much. Mm-hmm. And if a lineman can get up to his level or safety's level, then their running backs are going to keep doing what they've been doing to us.
Yeah, definitely need a Chucky Hunter kind of guy on the line, someone Ross, who can take that double team and
big
yeah.
dudes.
You absolutely. You didn't realize how you kind of figure out how good Blacklock was.
Yeah,
I mean, he was a hoss. That's what I always kept saying. He was something good.
Sorry
for laughing. Just throwing stick out there behind the scenes.
Yeah, sorry. Somebody went and threw a text message out. I'll have to explain that afterwards.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can't wait for that one.
Yeah, well, it's not what you think.
I was like, I gotta call that out. That is just too funny.
That's not what you think.
I tell you the other thing. Our safety started playing a little better last week. I mean, this week too. We still are susceptible to the big play at times.
Oh yeah.
But I still just want to see us play consistent. If we could, and I don't know if we get a big lead again, we'll probably play exactly like we played this, because some of it is how the coaches want to handle us. You know, Patterson's not going to be like somebody that gets up on you and then continues to score for three or four quarters. I mean,
We did it before with Tech.
Well,
yes,
yeah.
We did.
Yeah, yes. And we ran out of fireworks.
I scored as many points as I could on Tech, and it wouldn't hurt my feelings whatsoever.
No, I think everybody enjoyed that game quite a bit. Yeah. I wouldn't mind a repeat of that this year.
Yeah, well, that was because he had that was one of them I'm going to get even games.
Yeah.
He did in a big way, you know.
Yep, he did. Yeah. That was a fun one.
I'll never forget that game. Boy, it's hot. Whew. But it was hot that game. But I would have fried up there in the stands and watched the whole thing through.
Yeah, I mean, it just kept getting better and better. I mean, and then even when he was trying not to score, we just kept scoring. Like, we had third string in there, and they're still scoring.
You can't stop players. They just want to score.
No.
Yep.
Yeah, that was fun.
Unless he yells at you in the Peach Bowl.
Yep. Yep, Peach Bowl was excellent. So, well, speaking of the game on Saturday, so Texas Tech comes in, and this is probably the right time to see how this team is going to react, because you're coming off of another road win. We thought the same thing, you know, out of Texas, but there are some things here, dynamics within this team that have changed since the Texas game, obviously, and Texas Tech is not a, you know, Kansas State, Oklahoma style team. So this is going to be a very interesting matchup. So what do you all think for this game? What are you, Ryan, what are you expecting to see out of the team this weekend?
A win. I know winning doesn't seem to be good enough for me considering how I feel about last week's win, but I mean, at the end of the day, a win. But what I'd really like to see is an ass kicking. So I'm good for us to put up 40 something points and hold them to single digits. That's my goal for the team. So okay. Let's do it.
We'll hold off on your main prediction. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Nathan, how about you?
I'm gonna be completely honest, and I feel like it does it. I do this every single year, even when I was there. I never pay attention to Tech. until we actually have to play Tech. Like, there's like the big headline news, but for the most part, I like always just kind of, they always fly under my radar in terms of like, I never really know how they are, or like I never watch them play. So I really don't know what to expect from them this year. Because they're just, they haven't been on my to-do list. I don't know. I probably should have, but I mean, I expect it to be a close game, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they did beat West Virginia, but they have lost to pretty much everybody else. So.
Yeah. I take that back. I did see, not see, but obviously like was caught up with the Texas game stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a rule against them putting like a frog down thing. So they won't get any help. We won't get any help from that.
True. We don't matter.
Yeah. Dubber.
You know, I mean, I think they're going to score. I mean, they're not a bad offensive team. They're kind of this kind of their same MO as it's always been. They've got some decent skill position players, and they can do some of that stuff. So I don't know. I think we got to come back to the same form we had. We're going to have to. I mean, you know, you want to run the ball a little bit to keep the ball away from them, you know. But I think we're going to have to be able to score some points too. I mean, I think we're going because if we think we're just going to – if we shut them down, then our defense is getting better. I mean, you know, because they you know, I'm not saying they've been great at offense, but they put some points on the board through the season.
Well, but I think the vast majority of that's been padded, though, with that overtime game against Texas at the beginning of the season.
Well, that's true. That's true, too. But, you know, I don't feel – until I see a great, consistent game with us – I haven't seen us just shut anybody down, you know, I mean, just totally snuff anybody, you know, and so you know, we've made it, well, we did it for a half last week, you know, I mean, you know, we talked about the offense being you know, going from one thing to the other. Well, the defense kind of did the same thing, you know, they went from totally dominating the first half to the second half, you know, I mean, it looked like a different defense also. Well, you know, we're going to be playing at 2:30. It's going to be a little warm. You know, we get out there. What, you know, what's our conditioning like? You know, if we decided we got tired against Baylor, well, let me tell you, Tech's offense is better than Baylor's offense. I do believe that. I mean, they might not have as good defense, but I think they got a good offense.
Yeah.
And so I just want to see consistency. I think if we play consistent, and I think if we – you know, don't turn the ball over. Don't do stupid penalties. I think we'll be fine, you know. But more than anything, I just want to see some consistency from 1 week to the next.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see a full four quarters from every unit. You know, and we've gotten drips and drabs and a little bit of here, a little bit of there. We got a great first half out of the offense, barring that little play at the end of the first
three
half.
Quarters.
Yeah, I would take three quarters against Tech too.
That's probably the biggest thing. You probably said it right. I don't know if I agree with totally three quarters, but there's going to be bad plays. There's going to be bad spots in the game. I don't even care if you're playing good. Usually there's bad, you know, there's bad places in a game. It's how you react and how fast you can turn it around again. Mm-hmm. And we just haven't been very good at that. When we go bad for a half, or we go bad, you know, or we go bad for three quarters.
Just hemorrhage.
And so, yeah, that's exactly right. What I want to see and what I'm hoping I saw at the end of the Baylor game is, I mean, we went bad, but at least we stopped the bleeding.
Right. And so, well, it was bad for a quarter and a probably a little less than a quarter and a half.
Yeah.
Because that last defensive series against Baylor, right when we got the ball back with 6.5 minutes to go, was a really good defensive series.
And it was a good offensive series too. I mean, you know, that's the first half. I mean, we did what we did what on both sides of the ball, we stepped up. Mm-hmm. Both sides of the ball stepped up. We won a football game. And so I'm hoping that carries over and we learn how to do that a little quicker.
Right.
And more consistent. Because that's what it's all about, is being more consistent about that, you know. And not getting complacent. You know, if we get a lead, you got to learn that, just because you got a lead, that doesn't mean that you can lay down, because people just score too easy these days, you know.
Yeah.
And more in conditioning, I really believe that the second half was more about starting out a little flat and complacent. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, you got that big lead. And, you know, a lot of them guys, they got to learn. Hey, just because you got a lead in college football, it ain't like high school. I mean, these kids are all good. They can score on you real quick.
And Baylor, coming out of the end of the first half, they had a little bit of a momentum shift.
That's right.
And then they had some stuff that happened in the locker room we're not going to get into. And then they came out and they were fired up.
Yeah.
And so they're at home. So, yeah. And the fact is that, yeah, they came out, they hit us square in the mouth. But instead of going down, instead of folding, instead of doing some of the things we've seen in the previous weeks, they bent, but they didn't break. And that was a very positive move for this team. So I think it's going to be a very interesting game. You're right. It's going to be, you know, it's 2:30, but yeah, the weather's kind of changed around here. 2:30. It's going to be nice. It's not going to be, you know, Kansas style game hot. But overall, I think it's going to be a good one. So let's go into predictions. Nathan, why don't you start us off?
Hey, I just wanted you to know, I got lucky because I didn't expect the game to play out that long, but I was pretty close. Pretty close last week.
You were very close.
I had
close.
The differential right of just 2 points off.
I have it being a 4-point game. I just don't know where the score is.
4-0.
Yes. No. I've been trying to do like weird scores just because like it's a weird year and things have been happening. Go 29-25.
Hmm.
I don't know how, but it's just gonna happen.
All right. Missed extra point in there somewhere, and
yeah, something is gonna go wrong.
Something weird. All right, that'll work. Ryan.
Oh, do I do the score I want, or do I do the score I think? When I hope for or reality, since I'm not betting any money on this, I think I'll go with the score I hope to see. And I want to see 45-35. I really want to see our defense just stuff them. So, I'm gonna do 17. I'm not going to keep it to single digits, but I'm going to do 45-17.
Ooh, 45-17. I'd love to see that score.
I would too. It's time. We used to do that all the time.
So I'm just curious. That's what the heart wants. What did the head say?
You don't want to know what my head says.
Moving on. Dubber?
I'm kind of with Ryan in that some sense. I'm going to go 38 on the scoring side. And I'm going to go 20. I'm going to make another 10-point differential,
38-28. All right. That'll work. I am going to go 42-27.
I like it.
I'm really hoping. I really think it could be a little wider differential than what I did. But until I start seeing it consistently, I got to see, you know, because every time I think that they're going to, hey, all right, this week we're going to do it again, we haven't done it. We went totally opposite of what I thought we were going to do. So,
but we did. I mean,
this is a big week to see if we're growing up and becoming a consistent football team.
There were some awesome plays last week against Baylor. We were like, oh, wow, you know. And so, I think if they had a good week of practice, that it may just all finally start coming together for them. Hopefully.
Yeah, I think the offense is starting to find something there. Yeah, and I think, you know, especially, you know, given what we saw in the first half, the second half was a bit of a train wreck, but there were some bright spots in there. And of course, mm-hmm. that last big series was huge. But I think we've found something there in the offensive, you know, with the offensive line, with the offensive scheming. And I think this team is finally ready to break 40 points in a game. And I think Texas Tech, given their defensive woes, I think is the best team to be able to hit that.
I agree with that. But I will say this. You know, we've been talking about the running, but we got some talented wide receivers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't not talk. You know, some of the reason why the running game went good, too, is, you know, we hit that long pass early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
on the sideline with Johnson, isn't that his name? The tall freshman?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
And so we got to, you know, if you're working both sides of it, I mean, it opens up a lot of stuff for you. So you can't just give up on – we got to throw the ball too.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to run it, but we got way too good a wide receivers not to utilize them.
The commentators spoke very highly of TCU during the more or less the whole game, even though at the end it wasn't as good, but especially of Duggan. I mean, they were like, he is something special, and mm-hmm. he is. I mean, he's good.
But I would like them – I'd like to see us use the run to set up the pass, which is kind of counterintuitive because I think with this offensive line, if you get them – it's kind of like a quarterback getting them into rhythm, right? If you get this offensive line going into a rhythm, busting up the defensive line, then you can start taking some shots and, you know, let Duggan and the wide receivers kind of open it up a little bit. But, I mean, just pound the ball to get started with. Let this team just go downhill and just take it to Texas Tech. And then start setting up your pass. And then all of a sudden, now the defense doesn't know what's going to happen. And you just, you know, Katie bar the door, just open it up. But I think they have the capability of doing that. I think too many games this season, we started off pass heavy or quarterback sneak every single freaking time. And just we just never really got going with any consistent ground game outside of just using the quarterback. And Max cannot take that sort of abuse. Because, you know, the Raiders are going to come for him big time because they know they don't have a chance if Duggan stays in four quarters. So, yeah.
Well, this is going to be the second game. Week. This will be, the great thing is second week that they won't change, I don't think, the offensive line. Mm-hmm. So it's another week that they're playing all together and that consistency. And they didn't run Max near as much last week until they needed him because the whole game our running backs ran so good. They didn't really do it until the end of the game. Right. And then a couple of times, and because they hadn't run him, all of a sudden, it worked. I mean, not that he doesn't run hard and this and that and the line didn't block good, but because you hadn't worn him out, you know, they were worried about the running backs. And all of a sudden, he pulled it. He was up the field before you knew it, you know. Mm-hmm. So –
I did that on that last drive too. That he picked up a critical first down on that last drive doing that. So, and that's how it should be done. You shouldn't have to run Max three and out, you know, in a series. That's just ridiculous. So, and we didn't see that this game. No. And that's why I said I think the offensive coordinators finally figured something out. And you know, maybe it is like what Ryan said earlier. Maybe it's just because Baylor just sucks, which we all think Baylor just sucks every year, but.
Feels good to say that.
It does. But overall, I think this is going to be a good game. Yes. So, well, there you go. There's our prediction. So just run it down again. We got Nathan said 29-25. Ryan said 45-17. Deborah had 38-28. And I said 42-27. So we'll see how that goes. Ryan, any thoughts on tiebreakers for the board?
I got one. You need to do a last score, what the last score is. Like a TCU field goal, Tech touchdown, passing touchdown.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Gotcha. That's a good one.
Hey, I'm gonna go scores last in what format?
I'm gonna say we give up a safety in typical coach.
Gonna do that.
Typical coach P fashion.
Oh gosh. Give up a safety. Okay.
So yeah, I would say it would be for me. It would be 23-29. Coach P gives up the safety to boot the ball 25. Towards him. Give him more field.
Yeah, that sounds like a Coach P thing. Well, we already did that once this year. Yeah. Interesting. Dubber, what do you think? Who scores last and in what fashion?
I say that the last score is by them, and it's a pass play. It's a, you know, but it's a mop-up score. Hmm. We've already – they're playing from behind. That's how they get back to 10. because at that point in time, you know, they're 17 down. It's going to be a last minute score pass. We'll say 20 yards.
All right.
20 yard touchdown pass.
Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going to say since we're kicking their butts so big that they actually do get a touchdown for their last score, but it's no big deal.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to say going into – I'll say Tech gets a field goal for their last score, and I'll say up to that point, we're looking at a 28-24 game. TCU up. Tech kicks a – well, actually, excuse me, then that would mean us. We get a touchdown. Never mind. Forget it. We get a touchdown. That's how we end it.
Wait.
I was thinking like how was Tech going to last score? I'm going to say it's – I was saying that it was 28-24. Tech kicks a field goal to put it within one, and then we just score two touchdowns unanswered. So last score, TCU, touchdown. There you go.
Okay.
That'll get us to 42. So that's what I'll say.
That makes me feel better.
You said 28-24 and that kick a field goal. That's a one-point game.
Yeah, that's
right. And I'm thinking about what his prediction was, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, it didn't work out well.
You need to go back and think about something.
I was setting up this whole scenario, and I was just focused on Tech scoring.
Some numbers missing there.
See, y'all pick Tech to score last. I'll just pick us. We'll score last. It'll be a touchdown. There you go. Done. All right. Okay, so with that, I think we've come to the end of this podcast. I want to thank everybody out there who's listening to us. Of course, Killer Frogs podcast is available on all the major podcasting networks. And, of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, and join us on the forums and let us know in the score prediction thread what your score prediction for this game, for the Texas Tech game, is going to be. And let us know who you think is going to be the last one to score and in what fashion for the tiebreaker. And so with that, real quick, again, if you're listening to this Friday, try to get out there, see the women against West Virginia at 7 o'clock, or catch them on ESPN+. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get our frogs up and we get to say,
go Frogs.
Go Black Tea.